So it's a good day to be saved. Amen. It's a good day. Well, it's a good day for the unsaved too, but it's better if you have sure enough a whole lot better if you belong to the Lord. No worries, no cares, no fears. Everything's taken care of. Everything that we need is already provided. Amen. There's no other way to look at it. It's already provided. You don't have to beg God for nothing. Amen. Amen. Begging usually don't get you anywhere. I found out in life, you can be begging the wrong people. Amen. It's just true. Just true. See, that one was free. We ain't even got started yet. But anywho, I want to remind us of our specials for this month. Lawyer Up is what you pay for. For free, you get Prophetic People, Volume 1. Amen. And that is all for the handy-dandy price of $12, and that includes shipping. See, I remembered. And our broadcast is 3 times a week, Strong Faith. Amen. It was on this Monday, this morning at 9 a.m., tomorrow 9 a.m., and Wednesday 9 p.m., so don't miss it. Amen. We need to steep ourselves in the Word like never before. I know we say that all the time. It sounds a little cliche, but it's always good to stay grounded in the Word. You can never be grounded too much in the Word of God. And so we're just real, real thankful that God has provided so much for us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Miss Carrie, come up here. I'm going to embarrass you for a minute. Look at Miss Carrie. Can you believe? Amen. She came in with her. Can you get a mic for me? She came in with her ornamental cane. It's a prop, really, because Miss Carrie doesn't need that. But do you remember? I want you to share a little bit of testimony with us, if you can remember. You were in the hospital many years ago, and they told you you had heart disease and all that kind of stuff. And okay, so you want to share and tell us what you did?
Yeah, I have been with the ministry since they began. And I've had a lot of health issues. I mean, you name it. I haven't claimed their court in her, and I'll never claim it. But I've been in and out of the hospital. First time that she came and ministered to me, they said I had heart trouble. I was fitting to have a stroke. I had pneumonia. And a whole bunch of things. And that's when I really saw how the healing ministry worked. And I got up and went home. And that was that was the end of that one. But I've traveled with them and everything. And it's been great. I mean, it's just like my second family. And I went to Everlasting Baptist Church with my granddaughter. And I thought, oh, this is not going to do it. So I asked them to bring me up here, you know. And they did. I've been trying to get you. I don't drive anymore. But I try to be as jazzed as I can. I'm still hanging in there. But the devil has tried to eradicate me, and it just hasn't worked, because I do pray. I pray constantly, and I have faith, but he's tried, but I'm pushing for 100. I'm 100.
We're with you on that, Miss Carrie. We're definitely with you on that one. Amen. Praise God. See, she's one of the people we're going to talk about today with the Abraham brand of faith that consider not certain things. I remember that so well. I remember your age at the time, Miss Carrie. You were 55 years old. Amen. And she looked at me and Pastor Shirley. She said, I'm going home. I said, good. So she left the evil report right there where it was delivered to her. And walked away from it. Amen. And that's the way when Jesus said, be healed to people, he said, be healed. Amen. Don't try to be, just be. Whatever you consider healed to be, you be that. Amen. And that's really how healing works. It works just that simple. You know, sometimes we've got hurdles to cross. I think most of them are man-made. You know, we just got to dissect everything, think about everything, but, you know, not necessarily so. You can have a simple kind of relationship with God and get great benefit from it. So we're going to continue in the word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for testimony of your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that somebody's going to be healed off this testimony today. We know it because the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, and that thing has been prophesied out now. So we thank you for bringing Miss Carrie here to us today, and we thank you for blessing us with your presence and your word. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You know, I was thinking about something before, as we get into the text of the word, but I considered this several times to share, and I think I want to share it with you because there are so many I call church lies that are perpetrated about God, his plan for us, faith, healing, all of the above. And so I thought I would share this with you. In John chapter 11, if you'll go there, this is the story of Lazarus at the tomb of Lazarus. He's already dead. So we pick the story up where Jesus has waited on purpose for a reason. He wants people to get faith for a certain thing. You know, as he preached, he was under a plan and a program by the Father to deposit a certain kind of faith in the earth. Once faith is deposited in the earth, it can be resurrected from generation to generation. Like the faith that we live in now, it's the faith of the Son of God, but the brand was established by Abraham. Amen. So it's Jesus's faith. Jesus is Abraham's final heir. Amen. We understand the faith that we have through Jesus Christ by how Abraham lived. So we have to have examples of what this faith can do. We have to have examples of how, because if we just look at Jesus, everybody, well, he was the Son of God, and he was perfect, and you can't do everything he did. Well, you can do what Abraham did, because you can see Abraham was not perfect. He's just like me and you. Amen. In fact, some of us kind of are up on him in a couple of areas, if you look at it, you know what I'm saying? But just comparing. But we need to understand what that brand of faith can do, what Jesus was doing here to get faith for resurrection power in the earth in the now. That's got to be deposited in the heart of every believer. You've got to believe in the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? That everything that was dead comes back to life again. On the power of God. Amen. And he was trying to get that into people so that they could believe he would be raised from the dead, number one, but also to believe that resurrection is not an event. It's a spirit. It's a power. And it resided then in a person, and that was Jesus Christ. And so John 11, he's coming up to the tomb. He's already run into Martha, and I'll give you, we'll go over his conversation with Martha because I think that's important to say. Jesus said, in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So death was the final answer to her. It's the final answer to many people. Amen. If you're born again, death is not your final answer. You're raised from the dead. Amen. In fact, you really step over into glory. Death just touches you and then the angels escort you. You know, the life expires from your mortal body and then you take on your heavenly form. We're not sure what shape that's in, but anyway, God receives those who belong to him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so Jesus said, she said he wouldn't have died. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it you. Now, what she's saying is, you're responsible for my, you got to do it all. You got to believe, you got to have, use the power, you got to do this, you got to do. She puts it all on him instead of assuming responsibility herself to believe God. She was believing at one time and she quit believing when he died. Jesus wants us to continue to believe anyhow. You got me? You continue to believe. It's like we've all prayed for people that passed away. And but you never prayed for them. You never gave up praying for them. You held on to faith until they stepped over. And so this is our responsibility as the church. Continue to believe. Don't let go of your believing. See, because your faith will take on new life. It'll get stronger. You need that faith for the next situation you're going to run into. So you can't sit up there and let your faith expire. If you once believed, you can still believe. So she says, I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. But I'm not putting my faith in this. You got me? She's not going to be so foolish as to believe for the impossible. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. See, that's as far as her faith, she's willing to let her faith take her. You ever heard people say things like, especially when they don't have faith for a healing, well, death is a form of healing. You ever heard that? They say that all over. Well, it's not. And Jesus will show you it's not. When we talk about healing, we talk about healing. We don't talk about dying. It's told two totally different things. Amen. Jesus, when he accompanied Jairus to his house, Jesus heard his Jairus's prayer, and he kept that little girl alive, even though she was asleep in the natural sense. She was alive eternally. And so he kept her in eternal life where he lived. See, when you're with Christ and he's with you, you take on his life. He don't take on yours. Amen. And so he told Martha, he said, Martha, your brother will rise again. She said, I know on the last day, just a religious woman. She's just quoting some Bible verses she heard or some story she's heard. She's not internalizing this word. She's not mixing anything that she's ever heard with faith. Because if she did, she would believe Jesus and what he's saying. But she's correcting him. I know he's going to rise. I know. Yeah, you don't know nothing. And it says, he says, I am the resurrection. In other words, rising up is not an event. It's a person. It's a spirit. He says, the resurrection is talking to you right now. In other words, I have power in me to get him up from there if you'll believe me. And so she says here, he says, whoever believes in me, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. That's what he did with Jairus's daughter. Because the resurrection came home with her daddy. She lived. Amen. And he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yeah, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the... She's just looking for the right answer to say to get him off her case. She doesn't like feeling the conviction of being responsible to believe him for the impossible. Anybody ever been there? Amen. And so she said, when she had said that, she called her sister and a bunch of rigmarole and stuff like that. And he asked eventually in verse 34, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And so then the other people in verse 37 standing around said, some of them said, could not this man, which it's all in the past tense for all of these people standing here, it's over. There's no more hope for Lazarus. Even though the one who carries resurrection power, the resurrection, he doesn't just carry the power, he is the resurrection. Wherever he is, resurrection can happen. He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. Resurrection can happen through us, for us, and to us at any time. whatever it is you thought was over, whatever you thought were felt hopeless about, whatever you thought was dead to you, can come alive again with God's word. Just get a word from God. Go read your Bible. Go find what you need in there, and it can be raised up again and again and again and again. How many times? As many times as you need it to be raised up. Amen? And so Jesus says here, he prays and he says, he tells him to take away the stone. That's in verse 39. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he's stinking, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? God is not glorified in death. He's the God of life. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Amen. And he tells her, didn't I tell you if you would believe? Now, she's believing in death so much, she don't even want Jesus to try to get him out of the grave. Amen. And so once a person's mind is made up, until they reverse course and decide to believe first and then see, none of this will work for them. You can't see first and let that help your faith. Your faith is not helped by the seen realm. I'll say it again. Your faith is not helped by the seen realm, the natural realm, this earth realm that's passing away, decaying every day and passing away. You have something superior to that in God. You have something that can override that. You have something that came before that. You have everlasting life. This everlasting life was here before we even got here. Amen. It was going on before we even laid claim to it, before you became aware of who Jesus was. Everlasting life was existing in the eternal realm. So it's possible to tap into that whenever you need to. Whatever you need that's out there in God, in glory, you can tap into it whenever you need to. But the key here, he says, if you would believe, you would see. She's dealing only in the sight realm 100%. As much as she talks to him, she's talking about what she can see, what's going on in the natural, what she feels, what she thinks coming out of that natural realm. And he's trying to get her to understand that he's taking her to a new place. You know, we all want to escape something that's on this earth. That's why people take drugs. That's why they get involved in all kinds of deviant behavior. They're trying to escape this natural realm. Well, God has given us the way of escape. He has given us the door to the kingdom. He has given us the keys to life everlasting. And so he tells her, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see? None of those people standing there were believing anything. They were believing it was too late. They were believing it wouldn't happen. They were believing, oh boy, don't open that tomb. He's stinking. They were believing all kinds of things. In fact, they were believing he was going to die before he was dead. See, you got to, once you connect with life, you got to stay with life, folks. You can't believe two things at one time. You got to believe one thing 100% of the time. You can't afford to go back and say, well, what about so-and-so, or what about this and that? Well, you can ask what about it, but at the end of the day, if you want what God has for you, you're going to have to quit thinking about that. Amen? And pick up what God has for you. So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll start there. That was just our example, because I think it's important for people to understand the importance of believing first and then seeing. Jesus was the only person at that tomb who believed. But after he raised Lazarus, more people believed in him. Amen. So they were able to see that God's word was powerful. They were able to see that God's word was almighty. But you need to know that no matter how bad it looks in the natural, you can still believe God. You got me? you still must believe God. If he can raise a dead man up who was stinking already from decay, amen, you can believe him to revive anything. Amen. I don't care what it is, and I don't care why it was lost to you or what happened to it. You've got to understand that the power, resurrection power, can revive anything. And that's the power that resides in us. Amen. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies. That is, these bodies that we are in right now. We're not talking about when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you won't need a whole lot of stuff you need. You're trying to get there by plowing through the stuff that's left, the debris here on earth. Amen. This stuff that's down here isn't that valuable anymore. You understand what I'm saying? It's coming to ruin and decay every day. And that's why Jesus says, don't set your affections on things down here, because this ain't going to be here. In fact, it's escaping very, very quickly. And so the only things that are going to translate over into the supernatural realm are the things that are based on God's word, things that are eternal. So in Proverbs chapter 4:20, it's very important for us to know, it's important what we consider, what we keep our mind on, what we keep our thinking on. Very much important. And Jesus says here, the word says here, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, make an effort to hear what I'm saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, this is just true, period. If you listen to the word and focus on the word, eventually it will drive all sickness out of your body. It may be sooner than later. You know, people always think this is a deception the enemy puts out there. You know, if you start believing God, it's going to take time. God don't work. Oh, he may not come when you want to, but you know, mine is coming when I want him to. My God won't disappoint me. Amen. Amen. You got to know how to work with God. You know, a lot of times people just, they believe these old wives' tales. These things are left. Little scraps of unbelief are left around to see who's going to nibble on them and who's going to eat them up and start believing them. Amen. Believe God's word. Believe he's a good God. Believe that he won't. The Bible says if your hope is in God, you will not be disappointed. He has a way of not disappointing his children. Amen. Some of you parents, y'all been barely getting by. You know what I mean. Even doing your best. Your kids, you promised the kids something. Oh, I forgot. I don't know why I told him I was going to do that. I just, you know. Say amen, somebody. I'm going to keep going down that road if you don't. Amen. So see what we do many times is measure God by our standard. Our standard sometimes is very, very low. You got me? So we think when we ask God for something, we may not get it. Or if we get it, it's going to, well, I'm not going to get that soon enough to help me. Amen. When the Bible says his word runs very swiftly across the earth, he honors his word above his name. Amen. So God is quick to hear. He's quick to respond to us. He just wants people to, he wants to see faith. And if you're halfway thinking he'll do it and halfway thinking he won't, that's the problem right there. The problem is your doubt and your lack of faith in that situation. And so we have to understand that God wants to do everything that we want done for us. He wants to do it more, but he must have faith. You must believe first, and then you will see. You can't peeky-boo and keep trying to check God out and see what he's doing. You've got to trust him. Amen? He is trustworthy. Amen? He is a faithful God. And at some point, you've got to say, you know what? I don't have any power to do this on my own. If I don't trust God, nothing's going to happen. God, help me to get there. You understand what I'm saying? You're not in this by yourself. God will help you to get to that place where you trust Him and Him alone. Amen? So the word says, don't let this depart from your eyes. Man, keep looking at the word. Keep feasting your eyes on the word. I don't care what form it's in. You can have your Bible open. You can have little note cards with it on there and different forms. But keep the word in front of your eyes. Why? Because it reinforces what you hear. It brings you back to the truth of what God says. Many times we get used to hearing scripture. And it's amazing how much you turn off when something's familiar to you. You ever notice that? You'll start hearing it, oh, yeah. And you don't ever listen to the whole thing. You don't let the word sink in. You don't let it get and penetrate where it's supposed to penetrate so that it can become a part of you. Once it becomes a part of you, then you will automatically begin to let it come out of your mouth. And when you start to speak it, that's when God can manifest it. Amen. When you either speaking it as a part of your action or acting on what you believe, both are forms of expressing your faith. Your faith without any kind of action won't do you any good. If you never act on something, you won't get it. Amen. You see, a lot of times people have dreams. They have, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And many people never get, you ever see people, I'm going to do this when I grow up. I'm going to do that. And you go up to them when they're grown. Whatever happened to you so-and-so? I outgrew that. Well, what you been doing? Well, you know, I've been working at the same place 30 years. Well, at least they have a job. But what happened to that dream? Amen. Not all childhood dreams are to be disposed of once you get grown. Some of those things are God speaking to you for direction in life, for a something in life. But whatever it is that caused you to quit dreaming, it's going to kill everything that you try to do. And what God is trying to do is give us faith for everything that we desire in our hearts. Amen. You'll see a lot of times people will, you know, well, I dropped out of school and, you know, I did this and I did that, but I've always wanted to. Well, you can still do it if you really want to do it. But see, whatever it is that caused them to quit on it before is still working. And God wants to get that out of us. That's what His word is for. That's what the new creation being is for. That's what all of that is for. Is to get that out of us so we can start to believe God and we can do the things that God has put in our hearts to do. Amen. We look at people like Joseph. He had a dream when he was a young boy. He was probably a teenager at the time. And this dream caused him a lot of trouble in his life. But no matter what happened to him, he never stopped believing in the dream. You got me? We know that because you look at the results in his life. It came to pass. And if anybody had reason to quit, he's dreaming that his whole family's going to bow down to him. He's going to be an important person. And now he's in jail. He's in prison. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know, but I know God gave me that dream. And I know it's going to come to pass at some time because I'm not going to quit believing in it. Amen. We know he still believed in it because he was still trying to get released from prison. Amen. Based on his gifting, based on his abilities. He knew that his gift would make room for him one day. And when he interpreted that dream for the butcher and the baker, he told them, when you, which one of them got his head cut off? I think it was the baker. The baker and the wine taster. Huh? Bread and wine again. Pointing to Christ. Amen. So, you know, I think it was the wine taster lived And he told him, he said, now when you get up there, you know, remember me, tell Pharaoh about me. You don't say that if you don't have hope that your dream is going to come to pass. That's how you keep the dream alive. Amen. Amen. You know, people look at that and criticize. You know, I like Bible critics because they'll never know what they're talking about. But they talk anyway. I used to be one of them until God told me just pay attention and listen. You'll know as much as you think you know. I say, yes, sir, I'll do that. You understand what I'm saying? But they'll say stuff like, well, yeah, Joseph was trying to get out on his own power, using the arm of flesh to get a promise through. What would you do? Can we allow him to be a human being just like you? You know, if you look at it the way God wants you to look at it, you can see yourself there trying to get out of trouble the best way you can. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because he knows he don't belong there. You know, Joseph looked down there. He said, I really don't belong here. But God, if you know, this is where I am right now. I know you're with me. You're going to help me get out of here because you promised me. Amen. You told me this was my future right here. And I still believe that. Amen. If he didn't believe that, he never would have spoken up for himself. Even though it didn't work out, you don't know. That might have been the day of his deliverance. Wouldn't have been anything wrong with it if that was the way God sought to deliver him. Amen? But we know that he had to endure, I think they say, maybe like 4 or 5 more years of imprisonment before he was able to get released from God. Because there's a proper season. Had he gotten out ahead of the famine, where do you think he would be? He had to come out in relationship to God's destiny for him. Amen. And that's the thing that we don't know many, many times. What is God's destiny for us? What is he working on besides paying my bills like I'm always? Listen, you're going to always have bills. You know, my late husband told me that. I told him, I said, how come we just always paying bills all the time? He said, baby, you're going to always owe somebody something. And I wouldn't save then. You know, I was thinking I got stuff I want to spend money on instead of bills. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and it makes sense. You know, this is part of life. This is what life affords us all of the time. And so just buck up, little girl, and accept things the way they are. You making bills, you pay bills. Amen. So God wants us to be people who understand where he can come in and help us. And this is what Joseph had to endure. He had to endure letting his faith in God alone. Amen. Orchestrate his deliverance and orchestrate his life. See, we talk about the things Joseph went through, but Joseph was a spoiled little boy. You know, when he first got, you know, he managed to make all his brothers, he had 12 brothers or 11 brothers, made them all mad at him. That's a lot of work for a little kid. You understand what I'm saying? Usually the younger ones are beloved of the other ones, but they couldn't stand him. Amen. And so he had a lot of that need to be worked out of him. It's through humility that God is able to get us to the place where our faith in him is the only jewel on the inside of us. Amen. It's the only thing we're relying on. And so when there's too much of us still living, he has to get us in a position where we let that die and we realize, God, you are my only hope. You are the one I'm going to have to turn to. You are the one I'm going to have to believe on so that my life can work and it can work well. Amen. So really what you consider is what you attend to and what you pay attention to. Now, this is very, very important when it comes to faith, when it comes to believing, when it comes to anything, because in Proverbs 4 here, it's telling us the key to supernatural faith. This is the key to supernatural faith, is to pay attention only to God's word. You mean to tell me? Yes. Shut up and go pay attention to God's word. Go do this first before you come back and argue with somebody. Amen. You know, people say, oh, I did that. I tried that faith stuff. No, it's not something you try. You don't, faith, God's faith has been tried already. You ain't putting his faith on trial. Are you kidding me? His faith has been tried by the best. It's been tried through centuries of humanity trying to get back to God. Your faith is to get you back to your creator. It's to get you back to that condition where God initially put us in so that we could be successful in everything. We could live close to him, because that's where your real success is. It's in living close to God. It's not in what somebody pays you for your work or pays you for anything like that. Your success is in how much you please God. You know, if you can do anything and please God in the process, that's where your success is. Amen. It's not never in material things. Don't ever think that. There's a lot of wealthy people out here who are still looking for what they're supposed to do in life. So don't think that's going to solve anything. Amen. It never does. So the things of this world are passing away. They are fleeting. And if you try to lean on it, you'll fall. But if you lean on God and lean on his word, you will find that that word will hold you up in every situation. So here is the key to faith. It's what you pay attention to. It's always paying attention to the word. I don't care if you only got one scripture. You know, I used to tell people, I said, if I only ever understand John 3:16, I think that would get me to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Of course, there's more to it, because once you start serving God, you leave it up to him to start to make of you what he wants to make of you. Amen. To put the kind of word in you that he wants to put in you. So after you get born again, then it's his job. That's his show. You belong to him from that day forward. And it's up to God to make of you what he wants to make of you. Not what you always want to be all your life. Amen. Because you have no power to be that on your own outside of him anyway. So you might as well let it go and let God have it and get to understand what God has for you. And he has nothing but success, nothing but blessing, nothing but prosperity. It's like it was in the garden. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, increase, prosper, replenish the earth, subdue it, make a living here. Everything you touch is going to prosper. Nothing's ever going to fail. Go for it. And we still have that mandate from him. He has not planned any failure for anybody. But we got to get back with him and start learning his ways. These are his ways. Way number one is consider only what he says. And I don't mean you're looking for a voice. I mean you open your Bible. That's where you learn what God says. And you hold on to what he says. And so you want to develop your faith to the point where it can override any circumstance, any situation. Your faith can look at it and blow it up and plow through it. And cause the things of life to come into line with what he wants for you. Not complain about everything and wish it was different and all. That's so impotent for a believer. All the power we have, you have resurrection life and power in you, and you're going to sit up and wish something was different? You're supposed to make it different. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I felt, you know, there are times in the life of the minister, you know, where God will just grab your heart and show you, you know, you need to do something about certain things. And so two times, but once recently, many years ago, we needed our own bus. And I remember us leaving a conference and, Tony and Howard were packing up. We would charter buses, and they were packing, would always pack all of our equipment in the bottom of the, And they were like the Greyhound type buses. We would have that packed to the gills with stuff. And it had started snowing when we were leaving. And I looked at them packing. It was snowing. And they, you know how they are. They said, ah, man, they were having a good time and laughing. But my heart sank. And I said, Lord, they shouldn't be doing that in this weather. We should have our own vehicle. We should be able to pack at our discretion. We should be able. And God just began to speak to me. And he said, I'm looking to you to fix that. He said, I've given you the power to fix that. Amen. And so that year we started fundraising for our bus, and we got that money in so quickly it made my head spin. I mean, everything God's done for us that took money, he turned it over very, very quickly. You know, many times he's just waiting on us to ask. He would tell me sometimes, you don't have because you don't ask. So you got to start asking me for the things that you need. And so we started getting, first things we got, equipment vehicles, you know, which were great because then we could back them up to the, you know, venue and get them packed, and we weren't out in bad weather and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so God will move on you to do things like that. And then the last time, last month, the guys were trying to cook and it was cold out there. It was windy and they were holding on to the tarp, and I thought, oh Lord. And it's like my heart sank again. And God said, you can fix that. He said, you need to start talking to the weather again. And I remember when we started, those were the first miracles God showed us, was stopping the rain and making the sun come out and the, you know, all of this. And so I'm looking at the weather app that I have on my phone, and I look at the forecast. And so I'm looking at it, and it forecasts a lot of rain for today and all that kind of stuff. And I told the rain, I said, you can't come Sunday. I said, I don't care when you come. Sunday ain't your day. You know, you stay away. We're going to have sun. We're going to have good weather. We're going to have what we need, you know, as far as that's concerned. And so God will revive the things. Like recently, the devil started stealing from us packages we shipped off. We ship things all the time. And, you know, he let them go missing for him. And, you know, I told Pastor Shirley, I said, you know, I said, I think I was thinking about that. I said, I don't know why. I said, I just spoke to that thing a couple of days ago. You understand what I'm saying? And told the devil, let it go. That ain't, you ain't, you know, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and make your packages. You understand what I'm saying? Just normal common sense things where you use your resurrection life and power that resides in you to bring life back into things that are stolen from you, missing from you. The devil's trying to mess up your health, your marriage, your finances. I don't care what it is. And, you know, sometimes we can go along, we coast for a while, things are cool and everything, and then all of a sudden the devil start moving, shifting stuff around again. And you got to keep addressing him. You know, I say that to say I'm talking to myself as well as whoever else it's for. But you can't drop certain things that you do to make your faith work and to make things run smoothly, because you're supposed to have full provision for everything that you need down here on earth and the desires of your heart. And you can only do that by considering God's word. You've got to keep this word so in front of you. You can't just go off on a tangent daydreaming and wishing stuff. Cut that out. That's just such a wasted, that's a waste of your mentality. That's abusing your thought life. You understand what I'm saying? Because your mind is supposed to conceive the plans of God. It's not supposed to be sitting up wishing for stuff all the time like you can't get it. You understand what I'm saying? You can have what you say. Start getting it out of the Bible and say it. Now, I don't want you to go around here and try to act like, you know, I dream a genie and just blinking and stuff show up. Spend some time talking to your father about what you need. And spend time in his word, building your faith, and confess that word to yourself. Be like the woman with the issue. She is tired of everything. You understand what I'm saying? So she kept saying to herself over and over and over, if I can just touch him, I'll be, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. Start setting your faith up for a place where it will manifest what you desire. Lord, I know I've been turned down 3 times for this car loan, but I'm saying when I go this afternoon, I'm going to get this car. Huh? Set it. Listen. Them people at that dealership ain't giving you nothing. Now, they can either help the cause and get a blessing or stay in the way and hurt themselves. But that stuff is granted to you by God. If you don't believe it's yours before you go in there, you're not going to get it after you get in there. Them pariahs don't want you to have nothing. You, when you're a Christian, you have a big sign on your back that says, reject me, kick me, hate me, throw me out. That's the way the world looks at us. The devil will cause them to turn against us and we wind up with nothing. But if you can go in there and know it's yours already, you come out with it. And that's with anything. I don't care. All your boss is somebody who's supposed to sign your check that God has already made out for you. Now, Miss Pat, write that down, okay? That's not too hard to get that down. She is up there stunned, like, nah. Yes, it's true. Amen. It's already given to us. You really think people are in charge of giving you stuff? Jesus said, given and be given, shall men give into your bosom. They will give, not they will think about whether they want to give you something. He said, they will give. Hello? And that's not arrogant, but that's, you know, kind of strong to wake people up. Y'all got to take people out of control. You the only people in charge of you. You and God. You understand me? It's up to what you can believe him for. I mean, legitimate faith, not this wanting stuff and pie in the sky stuff. But you got to spend time with God and get some assurances from him about the things that belong to you. Your portion is strong faith. Your portion is the Abraham brand of faith. That's what we have. That's what's been given to us to work with. And trust me, it can do any job you need it to do. Amen. It's sufficient and more than sufficient for everything you need. But Abraham brand of faith is only activated if you focus on the right thing. We're talking about the Abraham, not Abram. Abram is before he walked into the faith of God, before he walked into strong faith. The faith of Abram will get you Ishmael. Because it's believing some God sometime and natural faith the other time. Amen? And so when he thought he got a promise from God, got a word from God, and then tried to figure out how to make it happen. Never been there? I have. Amen? Oh, God, that's cool. That's wonderful. Good. You go do it yourself. You know, you don't even consider. You don't even stop and meditate on it. You don't bring it back to God and ask him for instruction. Okay, God, if this is what I'm to do, what's my next step? Most of us got next step already figured out before God even tells us something. Well, I've been waiting for him to tell me that. I'm off and running. You understand what I'm saying? Abraham was eager for all of the things God told him he was going to do for him, but he had received it in his carnal thinking because he didn't know there was any other way to achieve it. And this is where most of us are in developing our faith. We understand where we're going. We understand what we desire, but we're not sure of the road ahead and what that's going to entail for us. But all we need to do is wait for the first step, because God will open that door for you to take the first step to where you're going. And that's all he's going to give you at one time, is one step at a time. And see, our problem often is we want 10 steps. We don't jump ahead and get there before we've even come to step one. And we don't understand why God would take us through steps. But if you look at Abram and who he eventually turned out to be, you'll understand it perfectly. You'll understand that God is invested in us as well as we are invested in us. Many times we only look at the side that we want, and we don't look at what God's looking for us. And the Bible is full of promises of him conforming us to the image of his son. When you are tried, you will come out as gold. We don't like them scriptures, but they're very much a part of what's going on in our lives. And we wonder, why is it taking so long? Well, who told you it was long? With God, a day is like 1,000 years. He's over an eternity. He has no sense of time. Amen. We're the only ones who let it bother us. And so when we talk about the Abraham kind of faith, we're talking about Abraham after he comes into a stronger covenant with God. He has always had a covenant. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, but he would believe him in certain discrete things, just like we do. You believe a scripture at a time, don't you? You can't believe the whole Bible at one time. That's all Abraham was doing. He's believing a word from God at a time. As he walks through life, God gives him another word. As he walks through life, God gives him another word. As he walks through life, God, he never changes what he initially told him he was going to do for him. So that lets you know that God never cancels your promise based on your behavior or not behavior. Human effort, human weakness, human anything cannot stop what God has for you. He don't cancel you out because you get weak, you get faint, you start complaining, you start griping, you start doing all this. He doesn't cancel what he's done for you. That's what the Bible means when it says he's faithful. What do you think Abraham and Sarah were, you know, God, we done this, we done that. Oh, God, no, please don't tell us we got, oh, God. But in the end, they judged him faithful, and the fruit of it was Isaac. So he already has granted us whatever it is he's spoken to us. We're the ones who can't get it straightened out, that it's already ours. Anytime your faith gets activated on the word of God, that means it's for you. Amen. You know, this will cure people of going in. You know, when you were a new Christian, you get mad at somebody, you go in the Bible, try to figure out they wrong. I know they wrong. I know they wrong. I'm going to find something in the Bible. And then one day you got convicted so bad, you say, you know what, maybe I'll start going in here looking for something for me, because it seemed like every time I go in here to indict somebody else, God, do you understand what I'm saying? It's called teaching. That's how you get, God will teach you any way he can. And thank God for it. He'll stop you in mid. Look at the Apostle Paul. He thought he was so right. He thought he's pleasing God, going around killing his people. And God just stopped him in mid-flight. Huh? He knew immediately who was talking to him. Paul wasn't a convert. He knew right away who it was. He said, Lord, who are you, Lord? Somebody more powerful than me that blinded me and knocked me down. I said, who are you, Lord? What do you want? What, I'll do whatever you tell me. Huh? That's for all them renegade people in your family, the ones you think is too bad, for ones who go to prison and come back a Muslim and all that kind of stuff. Damn, don't. You look them Muslim devils dead in the face and tell my, no, he belongs to Jesus. You just leave. Huh? So Romans chapter 4, we're back here again. I tried to take you on a little detour to make you think you weren't coming here, but we're coming here again. Because it's a good place to land until you get it. Amen. Get it, and you can get it over and over and over again. Amen. So Abraham was given a promise from God many years prior to his conversion. We can call this a conversion, where he stopped doubting God. And everybody can come to that place. You will come to a place where you stop doubting God. Amen? Because all of your doubt ability has been killed by your faith in the Word. Every time the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not obey the lusts of the flesh. What that means is that if you stay focused on the Word of God, pretty soon you'll quit believing all the stuff you used to believe that caused you to doubt. Just by focus. The attention is very important. Amen. You know, people get married because they decide to focus on one person. Amen. And then after you're married for a while, you wonder what you ever saw in them. I'll wake up, everybody. You get stale jokes when you go to sleep. You better respond to me. No, Barb, you're being too honest. I know. It's a blessing. It's called a blessing. It's a gift. It's a gift. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying. Because your interest is on something else now. Now, when you're following that person around, you just want to be around them because what they make you feel like. You get home, you get in normal life, and you feel like you got to go to work now. You feel like you got to go, you know what I'm saying? You feel differently. You focus on different things. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, anywho, but it is a matter of focus, folks. You know, people want to throw this word at you, denial, just because you don't accept the doctor's diagnosis. Miss Carrie's a good example. You can not accept a diagnosis and be healed. Amen. And what's wrong with denial anyway? Why has that got a negative connotation? Why you got to accept everything? Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Sometimes denial's a helpful thing. It don't come up just for nothing. You know, we look at a lot of things and like the world does. You know, I'm in denial on it because of what Jesus said. I don't accept that. Is that what you mean by denial? I don't accept it. No, they don't know what they mean. It's repeating a stupid devil. Get out of my face. You don't have to believe me for me to get my healing. My healing is not dependent on you believing me. Not dependent on your faith one little bit. Because you don't have none. You know, I call them testers. You get little testers in life. Just to keep you on the right road. You understand? Well, just so you don't go to sleep on your faith. You know, God will send somebody, let somebody come into your life who will challenge you on it. It's just a little tester. You know, something to strengthen you. Because when you come out, if you still believe in God, you got stronger. That's all that's for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't take it personal. It's only business. It's kingdom business. Amen. It's kingdom business. Amen. So it says here, verse 17, as it is written, I have made you. Whatever God has for you, it's already given you. You're not trying to get it. Even the natural manifestation of, you're not trying to get it. So just let that go. See, if you can let go of trying to get it, try. Why are you trying? You got it already. Rest your little nerve. You're not waiting on a manifestation. You have it already. Wait no more. Rejoice. Get happy. Act like you got it already. You won't be waiting much longer when you start acting like you got it already. When Jesus told the people that were sick, when he would say, be healed, what does that mean? Be healed. Well, I'm sick and I told you to be healed. Now, you might have to think about that for a little bit. And I'm not playing with y'all with this either. You might have to. You know why? Because many times when we have problems in our body, we have infirmities, we have put off what healing looks like to us. So we may not know how to execute that word, be healed. Now, this is what happened to Brother Hagin. God told him, he said, Lord, I believe I'm healed. I believe I received my healing. I believe I'm healed. And so God challenged him on it. And he says, well, if you're healed, why aren't you down at breakfast? Healed people are up doing things. He had not thought about getting up in so long. See, he didn't know how to be healed. I'm going to say it again. You may not know how to be healed because you haven't put yourself vision-wise in the place of being healed in a while. Say, for instance, if you've been in a hospital, if you've been laid up, if you've been incapacitated, if you haven't had the strength to get out of bed, or you haven't been able to do many things, what's in your mind is being where you are. That's what you think about most of the time. And that's what will kill your faith sometimes, because you can't think beyond there. But if you will allow yourself to get the faith of God on the inside of you and begin to put yourself in a healed person's position, what would I like to do if I were healed? What would I like to do? What would I like to do? What did I used to do? What am I going to go back to? What's the new thing God's going to have me do? What am I? Put yourself in that place. Allow yourself to dream. Allow yourself to create with your faith. Not just your imagination, but with your faith. You begin to talk to God about it. You begin to understand what's going on the inside of you. God is making you well on the inside of you with your faith every time you imagine yourself by faith doing the things healed people do. Those of you who are insurance say, praise the Lord, I'm a healer insurance person. Amen. And he was very successful at it. I mean, you know, he was pretty powerful. He gave it all up for the healing ministry once he met the Lord. But he said that he visited an office when he was in that business, I guess, or he was a younger man or very young. He visited the office of a very successful banker or insurance investment type person. And he saw that it was a big wooden, he said it was the biggest desk he had ever seen. He said it was massive. And he said inlaid in marble was that gentleman's name. And he said within himself, one day I'm going to have a desk just like that. He never spoke it to anybody, never repeated it to himself, never said it, but just prophesied within himself. And he said one day he came into his office and they said, your new desk has been delivered. Exactly. Exact replica, and it had John D. Lake engraved in marble inside that desk. See, that's the power of vision. Some of these things take very little effort on our part to bring them to pass, but then there are some things that take more. So we've got to understand that life becomes a balance between what takes a lot of effort on our part, we think, and what takes very little effort on our part. But know that whatever it is that God has given you a vision for, he is going to bring it to pass. His power is going to have to bring it to pass. Whether it takes concentrated effort on your part, whether it takes just, I'm going to quit trying so hard and consider myself healed and get up and go about life. Sometimes that's what you need. You have to put yourself in the place of it's already given to you. Amen. You're not working to get anything. And it's just so easy to get into works once we start believing, because we always think your carnal man always feels deficient. See, when you start feeling like you're not doing enough, or you start feeling deficient in any way, amen, you're on the losing side already. Amen. You are already putting yourself over out of faith over into works. Amen. You know, there's a key to snapping yourself back in faith. Amen. And you need to have keys in your life where when you find yourself drifting over into the realm of doubt or drifting over into the natural where your promise is concerned, you need to have a way to get yourself back over into faith immediately. You know, and what works for many people is just begin to thank God for it. Father, it's mine. I thank you. It's mine. Thank you. You've given it to me. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed already. Thank you, Lord. I prospered in this way. Thank you, Lord. This is what I'm doing. Amen. You know, God can bring things to you where somebody else might have to put in many hours to get it. You know, you got to find out what God has designed for you and how it's going to work for you. Amen. You know, I'm not against anybody working diligently at anything, but hard work kind of just rubs me the wrong way. I mean, it just kind of get itchy when I think them words. Why? The sweat of your brow is part of the curse. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Bring my customers to me today. Just bring them to me, Lord. I mean, God, if it takes more, I'll do more. But I got to hear that from you. So you get your instructions from him. Amen. He'll show you how to do it. Amen. But know that the curse is broken. You don't have to break your neck for a dollar. You know, you just really don't. You know, money's supposed to find you. The Bible says blessings will come after you and overtake you. But you got to be sowing the word. You got to be sowing righteousness. You got to be sowing good deeds. You got to be sowing. Don't ever put a limit on what you're willing to do for God. And he won't put a limit on what he'll do for you. Amen. No, don't ever cut it off of your own volition and say, I've done enough of this. I'm going to go do something else. Don't do that to yourself. Cause you cheat yourself out of your own prosperity when you do that. You've got to, God, whatever it is you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. You understand what I'm saying? When you don't care what it is, he'll begin to groom you to do things that are important for him. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just doing him like Mary. I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. I'm your servant. You see, these people don't like the word servant no more. You know, that makes me itch too. I'm allergic to a lot of little stuff around here. You know what I'm saying? If you don't serve him, honey, you serving the devil. It's only two masters out here. Are you crazy? You will close the door to serving God? Well, it says we're no longer servants. No, fool yourself. King James didn't really write that. You don't know that much about the King's English? No way. That was written so long ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not in this to serve, you're in the wrong game. Man, you'll never be successful. So here we go, Abraham. That it is written, I have made you. I have made you well. I have made you prosperous. I have made you a blessing. Amen. Before whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead by calling. Now this word and in here is just a simple conjunction. You know how many conjunctions there are in the English language? About 26 of them. It could be and, it could be but, it could be by, it could be as, it can, you understand what I'm saying? They just had to put something in here that made sense to connect these two phrases together. So God quickens the dead how? By calling things that be not as though they are. That's how you make dead things alive. That's how your health comes back. That's how when the doctors say you have this diagnosis, you say, no, I'm healed. I don't receive that. Because I don't deal with things in the natural. I live in a different place. You say that to a doctor, they'll write you a discharge slip. They'll send you home with everything you need. You need a maid to come by and take care of you. You understand what I'm saying? They want to get rid of you in a hurry. You just tell them, I don't live in that place. And look them straight in the eye. And don't blink. Don't blink, it might get you some Thorazine or something. Is that what they give them now? Shots. You know, maybe blink, okay? Just blink one time. Just so they don't put you on the other list. Okay. You got me? But don't stutter. And don't stammer. And don't stagger. So, no, I don't receive that. I'm just, you know. Let me go home and pray about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't be so arrogant that you're trying to stand on your own power. Said, I'm going to have to pray about this and see which way God wants me to go. And then the person that used to be a physician turns into a salesman all of a sudden. You don't know if you want to buy a car from him or you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's the truth. They'll sell you on certain things. No, let me pray about it. I'll go home and pray about it. And I'll let you know. Well, don't take too long. I don't intend to. In fact, God's talking to me right now. If you shut up, you might hear him. Just be friendly about it. Thank you, Miss Juana. I consider that legitimate humor that I just delivered. Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. But you know what I'm talking about, folks. You can't let people, you got to close that door to them wedging in there. They want to wedge in there and get you out of there. Amen. Always come up with something. Just true. You know, you go to get your blood pressure checked. And it's sky high. And here's the devil with the old blood pressure trick again. It's kind of funny. You sit there for about 5 minutes, they take it again, and then it's like, whoa, okay. Maybe I don't need you. I don't need these pills. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the devil will try anything he can. Get you locked up and locked down. You don't think he's trying to kill you? Look at all the close calls you've had. Now, some you saw, were aware of, some you didn't see. That's his mission. Steal, kill, and a saint's scalp is worth more than a sinner's scalp to him. He can stop you, he stops the kingdom. Amen. Oh, you mean little old me? I don't do that much for God. He's looking at your potential is what you need to look at. Calls those things. He makes dead things alive by calling things that be not as though they are. When somebody came to you and told you, are you saved yet? What's that mean? That means you got to confess Jesus Christ and believe God raised him from the dead, give him your life and serve him, and then you go to heaven. Oh, yeah, I'd like that. You pray, and then you say, I'm saved. Are you in heaven yet? Anybody here been there? Some people have, but you understand what I'm saying? You haven't seen it, but yet you're claiming it. You're saying that's your home. It's your home now. Not in the future. You just move in the future, but it's your home now. See, when you confess Christ, that was your first experience calling things that be not as though they were. But see, afterwards, we drop that. Why? The devil steals it from us. He works very hard. You work so hard trying to convince yourself you really are saved. The first 3 years you saved, that's how you live. I wonder if I'm saved or not. I just cussed at something. All right? What was cussing at you? What were you? No, you ain't got but so much little God in you right now, you know. That was all the words you had available to you. You understand what I'm saying? Just repent and we'll move on. God will erase that. Amen. So you learned how to live by what? Faith. You said, I'm just going to quit worrying about that. I know they say I confess. If I confess, I'm saved. I belong to God. And you keep walking on. Amen? Well, everything that you desire from God is going to be challenged like that. Some more than others. You try to get from move up, Wheezy, you know, to the east side. You know, you got six, you know, dry cleaners open now. You can, you know, you net, it's more zeros behind your net worth. You can move up into a deluxe apartment in the sky. Well, people who get there don't tell you how challenging it is to get from one zero to the next zero in your income. The devils will fight you tooth and nail to get there. Amen. I remember when my husband and I first, you know, he bought IRAs and we had to get a private investor for him because the company they're not going to pay to do a job for you that's somebody else getting paid for. So they just leave it stuck there and their stuff. But we did that and, you know, we kind of went in and they treated us cordial, you know, like, what's your name again? Let me see if I can find you. You know, and that went on for about 3 years. And one day, all of a sudden, they rail out the red carpet for us. I bet you, can you guess what happened in the interim? We went from five figures to six. You understand what I'm saying? You cross certain lines. You break through out of that. And you belong to God and you break into that realm. See, the devil will fight you tooth and nail for that. Because he wanted us to quit that, go back to letting the company manage it, it would never have grown. You got me? So he treats you like you know, like David. You just came in from shearing sheep and you smell like him. Plus you got poop on your shoes. But if you can fight through that, if you can stand and you cannot take it personal, huh? I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to make money. You got to make it for me. I'm moving it over to somebody else who will. You know, you get the right attitude about it. But you break that plane and you start having that money not in anything other than money. The devil will leave you alone about a lot of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you've robbed him already and you've run over into God's kingdom with them six figures. You got me? If you're dedicated to God, you got to be dedicated to God to do these things. But I'm telling you, and I had no idea what the difference was. And my husband looked at our statement and God said, that's what happened. He said, I moved you. You had a breakthrough. You broke out of that area where most of those people, their people are. And you're over into a realm where they have to respect you because the devil is not in charge of your finances anymore. I am. You got me? And God will get you there. Trust me, he'll get you there. You just keep doing what you're doing for God. You keep giving. You keep believing. You keep speaking the word over yourself. You keep allowing God to do good things for you. Amen? You know, in God has taken care of me for my husband's been dead almost 25 years now. You understand? I've never wanted for anything. I mean, seriously. And I ain't your best money manager in the world, if you know what I mean. You understand what I'm saying? Very meager skills, but God's able to do what he needs. Why? It's faith. It's calling those things that be not as though they are. When my bank account gets low, I say, God, thank you for more money. I know I've got it coming. You supply every need. I need more, God. Send it to me, and I thank you for it. Simple as that. And don't quit doing it. The more you do it, the more he'll give you. That's a shock, ain't it? There's no ceiling on what you mean to tell me you think God really cares about how much money you have? If you're a faithful person, cares very little about that. Amen? So he wants to do it for us. You call yourself wealthy when you're not wealthy in the natural. You call that. See, and don't waver. Keep calling it. Amen. If you got to go and borrow somebody's fur and put it on us, I don't know what you might have to do, what God might lead you to do. But go start looking the part. Go start being wealthy. Whatever that means to you, just be that. If that's what you want, be that. You don't care who laughs at you. And just let God put you in that place because strong faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Does not consider the natural realm. Doesn't live in the natural realm. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm done. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your people to prosper in the way you want them to prosper. Lord, help us to expand our vision of who we are, what we possess, what we have stewardship over, and what you have given us dominion over. Father, we thank you for that. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for people. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you before we adjourn.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
as you can be. I guess. No, that's what you. No, if anybody else need prayer, that's what I mean. Praise God. Huh? Miss Pat. You are healed. Because what is you think is wrong with you and the natural symptom-wise is temporary. Think on eternal things. It's what Jesus commissioned us to do. He commands us to think on things that are eternal where God resides. Don't think about things that are in the natural, that are temporary. That's how the devil gets glory out of your life. By what you focus on. You can do it. It's not impossible. Just a habit to think, what you feel, what you want, what you lack. That's all what the heathen think about, God says. But you are God's children. You're born of His Spirit. And you are blessed. Think about the blessing. Think about the things that God's doing in your life that are good. Think on those things. And you will be healed. Father, I pray for those to receive their healing now. Let them have a converted soul today. Change their thinking. Let them have a change of mind about their lives. That they would switch over to thinking on things that are eternal and not things that are passing away. We honor you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen again. Praise God. Amen. lunch or dinner or whatever. Our fellowship meal. That's what we're going to have in a minute. Before we do that, we'll just bless everything and thank God for it. We'll do our declaration. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. Bless our bread and our water. Take sickness from the midst of us. We are healed. We are a healed people right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I don't have Rona. She don't have me. I can't get Rona. She can't get me. And I can't get whatever it is you think you're. Whatever. No sickness, no pain, no disease, nothing. And it can't get me. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, we are healed. It is so decreed. Amen, amen, and amen again. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.